Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of June 28th, 2022, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, that's right. News AF is here. Last News AF of June. Half of the year of News AF will be done after today. And here we are, back together with the News AF team. First, a man who is Pickleball's top influencer. Of course, you can see him coming up in about a week's time. As one of the stars of the Challenge CBS, here is Tyson Apostle.
Whoop, whoop. It's actually the Challenge United States of America.
I've been saying CBS. It's Challenge USA. Okay, so that's... Yeah. You see, it's confusing to me because then I think, oh, this is going to be the Challenge with all stars from the USA Network.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, where's Tony Shalhoub, Danny? Where's Monk?
Tony Shalhoub, dude.
Yeah. Where's Breckenmeyer?
So I like to call it, just so that we don't get anything confused, I call it the Challenge United States of America on the Central Broadcast System.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, what a title.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful in a bad way.
It's a lot, but, like, you know, you got to make sure that people know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming up in a week, and...
Yeah,
CBS is letting me podcast it as we go through the season. So
wow.
The only insider info that will be available to the viewing
what a benevolent
public will
institution.
Be my podcast.
Yes.
Right?
Certainly.
So
that's what everybody says. Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, nice. that's very, very exciting.
Not too often you get such a benevolent corporate, large corporate entity.
Yes.
Take care.
Yes. Okay. So, Tyson, where can people hear those challenge recaps?
They'll be on the Ringer Network, which is on Spotify. It's on all podcatchers, but, like, I am, you know.
Yeah.
Go to Spotify.
Yeah.
If you can listen to
Spotify
it on Spotify,
pays the bills.
Listen to it there. Correct. And then, and now I'm in Utah. I'm traveling and just got here. We drove from Arizona to Utah, thought we'd take a road trip, stopped in Vegas for a day just to cut it in half, and then here, which is not
the
true half.
On the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably cooler in Vegas. You're like, oh, this is nice.
Then Mesa, it was very refreshing. It was very refreshing, I was actually, while I was driving through the desert, I took note of any time it was over 105, because I was like, if it's under 105, I could survive for a long time in this heat.
Mm-hmm.
But when it starts pushing 110, that's when it gets hot. And I was like, my threshold has changed, because in Utah, it's like at like 95, you're like, this is unbearable. Mm-hmm. Now I'm at like 105. I've pushed 10 degrees, which is pretty impressive that my body is still adapting and adusting. And I think this is what evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You're the next step in evolution.
I probably am, dude.
It'll be your future descendants who, like, can live on Mercury
or
Venus or something without suits.
Well, they say the older folks, later days, as they get older, like, the heat doesn't bother as much. That's why they go to Florida and Arizona.
Is that, I think it's because
you lose your brown fat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Is that why?
Yeah. Brown fat is your insulating fat, and as you get older, the brown fat disappears.
How do I get more brown fat?
Yeah.
I would say just eat more brown things.
Okay. Is that right?
That's just an idea.
Okay. Cannibalism.
Yeah.
So we drove. I hate driving. but we decided to do a road trip out here to Utah. I think it's 11 hours total.
Yeah.
And we are in a really pretty spot up at my parents' ranch, 9,000 feet elevation.
Whoa.
Which is nice. And yeah, it was nice and chilly last night. It was quite enjoyable.
So you don't care for driving. Famously,
correct.
You hate flying. Have you compared the two?
Flying.
Yeah.
Yeah, both are trash. But I think that, and honestly, if you have the time with how often flights get postponed or pushed back or this or that or whatever, it's almost, yeah, if the drive is under 10 hours, it's almost worth just driving rather than rolling the dice and flying.
Rolling the dice, yeah.
But, man, yeah. Both of those are terrible ways to transport. I think I would like a teleporter.
Teleporter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not there yet. What about drone? Picked up by a swarm of drones and carried.
Oh, you'd need a swarm of them? Like how many?
Yeah, swarm of drones, 100 drones. Like they all drop a little tether. You tie them all over you and your family, and then it picks you up and carries you mm-hmm. to your destination.
I don't mind that. If we were inside somehow, like a bubble.
No, no, you're not inside anything. You're tied. You're just being dragged. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like a rescue operation.
I think
I'd have to,
I think that with the weather and stuff like that, it might not be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might be Icarus'd. Mm-hmm. Your like arms catch fire as you're taken up and mm-hmm. close to the sun.
What if somebody else was driving the car, Tyson? Could you prefer that? Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer someone else.
Like a tour bus, maybe.
No, driving is better. Like being the guy at the wheel is the best because then you're occupied. Time flies, I think, at the wheel.
No, I'd rather sit in the back and take naps and play on my phone.
Oh, yeah, the nap. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. If you're a napper, that's the way to travel.
Yeah.
Are you not a napper?
No, I can't nap, especially with someone else at the steering wheel. I just assume they're going to kill me, so I need to all eyes on deck.
Be alive for your death.
Hands on deck. Yeah, I mean, just monitor them.
Just so when you die, you can be fully aware of what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my last words can be like, you were a dick, or why did you kill me?
You suck at driving.
Yeah. Well, I think you'd be very confused after you are dead of like, I was fine, and I went to sleep, and I guess something must have happened.
Hmm. Yeah, that's.
It's like, gee, I wonder how. I wonder how what happened.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I don't know if they tell you. Up, yeah,
you go up and you're like, "Where am I?"
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "You're home, son."
The mm-hmm. devil would really enjoy telling you what happened. You fell asleep while your friend was driving. What did you think was going to happen?
You hadn't repented for any of your sins, and I knew it was my time to strike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, here's the man who will never close his eyes while you are at the wheel. Here he is. It's Danny Bryson.
That is actually a very true point because one time I had been awake for almost 2 days
mm-hmm.
and we were driving back from Washington State and I had been driving, but I had started to hallucinate and they found me driving like 35 miles an hour down I-15. And so someone said, hey, you know what? Maybe I should drive. I said, that's a good idea. So I sat in the passenger seat and they said, what happened for the next 2 hours is I would wake up, ask the same question because I thought I was keeping the driver awake and then I would fall asleep. And I did that for 2 hours all the way to my house.
Yeah.
And then I slept for like a day and a half.
So is there, I know that famously you will not accept homemade goods into your home from...
Mm-hmm.
Is there, but I think there is a short list of people that you will actually allow to, you'll ingest their homemade goods. Is there a driver that you trust enough to close your eyes even for a smidgen?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say all my long-term friends, I'd probably close my eyes
Christoph?
With Tyson at the wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, although Christoph does drive kind of erratically, so maybe not.
Yeah, but he's a pilot, so like...
Yeah, but he's probably just like half-assing it when he's on a land vehicle.
Yeah, he's like, this is nothing like a 787.
It's so easy. I can do this with my eyes closed. Look, watch
pilot engage.
Yeah, watch this. I'm going to drive with my elbows, Danny.
Whoa, that's cool. His knees. Mm-hmm. He only drives with his knees in vehicles because they're so easy to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
he's a badass.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my policy on driving with people.
What about
and
Rob?
I just did a long drive. I just drove all the way down from Washington State on Sunday. So. Mm-hmm.
What? You got back from an adventure?
Yeah, I got.
Did
went
you climax
to, and,
or, pee, or yeah, peak?
I climaxed.
Peak?
I peaked all over Rainier and mm-hmm. skied from the mm-hmm. summit down the Dude. Northern Glacier Emmons. And if you see me licking my lips, because once again, I've badly sunburned my lips.
Oh, no.
You got to put sunscreen on there, bud.
Please be careful, Danny.
No, I do put sunscreen. I reapplied three times. I think what I
zinc,
need is clown
probably the
makeup.
Zinc stuff. Yeah, the zinc stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You'll figure it out one day when your lips actually have to get removed.
Oh, no.
Then I'll figure it out. The secret was to have my lips removed and replaced with some kind of bionic nano carbon material.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be replaced with like pig butthole or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, some animal part. The
closest thing to human lips.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Maybe if you're lucky, they could do like what they did to regrow that guy's phallus. Maybe they can grow like lips on your arm maybe one day.
No, I think Tyson's right. I think... pig anus is probably the closest material
mm-hmm.
for human lip. Mm-hmm. It hurts to smile. It hurts mm-hmm. to smile. It's not anymore. It no more funny jokes.
Pig anus lip,
the rest
yeah.
of the podcast.
If you had pig anus lips, you'd be able to laugh and smile, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No more. Serious from here on out.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, maybe it's time to revisit the origin story of Danny and Tyson's storybook friendship. Now, Tyson, you've talked about before about how like you first met Danny. Did you notice any sort of unusual scent that first attracted you to perhaps becoming friends with Danny?
Musk? I mean, I don't know. Not really.
Tyson, it was. We were both biking and we were both sweating. We were both ejaculating pheromones all over the place.
Mm-hmm. All the time, yeah. But there's a pretty consistent smell among people who sweat that much all the time. And it's not like body odor or anything, but it is like, you'd definitely be like, oh man, this is like, you can almost be like, oh, this is a group of cyclists. I can smell them. But mm-hmm. yeah, but I was one of those too. So I don't know. Probably subconsciously there was something.
Okay. Well, maybe you two are onto something because that according to a new study published in the journal Science Advances, they found that people with similar body odors are more likely to hit it off as friends.
Oh, wow.
I like
it. So you think all three of us are in sync?
Mm-hmm.
You line up in a lot of ways, beliefs, activities, and now we know that you also line up with smells. And it sounds like I think all of us are probably olfactic pleasure centers. Like that's the odor we put off.
Yeah.
And it's like we've mm-hmm. just found each other in a sea of smells.
You know what I was thinking about today was that, you know, pleasure we live centers. In a world where, you know, so much of now what we do after the pandemic is sort of like virtual, remote, over Zoom. Imagine you were blessed with incredible pheromones. You were blessed to be mm-hmm. an incredibly smelly person. You go places, people are just, they fall like head over heels. People want to be your friends. People want to date you. It's incredible. And now, on the other end of the computer screen, it's sort of like your
terrible
greatest, yeah, your greatest talent and skill and gift is being wasted.
So is there a mechanism?
Mm-hmm.
Plug it into your USB on your computer and
then
hook it up to like the top of your screen corner. It like latches on and then it pushes out pheromones into the person's
face.
Yeah,
like a Glade plug-in.
I'm sure the Japanese are working on this.
Yes.
For sure.
I mean, that's coming right after the taste stick, right, Danny?
That's right. The flavor pen. To the smell, mm-hmm. the smell spurter.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV screen that, you lick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, delicious.
Yeah.
This is going to be great. Full immersion. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a tough time for all of the really great pheromone people these last couple of years. But it really seems as though that people seek friends who are similar to themselves. And I guess, Danny, from an evolutionary perspective, does this make sense? Do you want to, and not S-C-E-N-T-S, but does this make sense that if we're going back to the early days of humans, would you want to be friends? Because I feel like that it seems like that people that smell like you would have a similar genetic makeup from what we understand about evolution. Wouldn't you be sort of more drawn to people who have sort of the opposite smells of you? Or is that only maybe for a mate?
No, I think that you would want to be drawn to strong, awesome bros. The best way to be drawn to them is by matching their scent. Like Tyson's out there in the caveman world with his alpha male pheromones just drifting in the air. Naturally, I'm going to catch a whiff and follow that scent trail subconsciously right to Tyson and instantly become his best friend.
Yeah.
And because he'll smell my alpha male bromones as well. And it's best friends.
Yeah. Tyson, you're familiar
with the bromones?
Well, is that what it is? Where it's like, oh, this reminds me of me, so I like it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, this reminds me of me. I'm comfortable with this smell because I'm familiar with it.
I mean, I've always said, if I could marry myself, why wouldn't I? But so maybe it's something along those lines. But I think that it's, you're just, I don't think that it's, I don't think that it's a familiarity, but maybe it is. But maybe your lifestyle is kind of what also adds those fruity notes to your pheromones, et cetera.
Oh, I love these notes.
Maybe it's the lifestyle that it dictates the actual scent of your pheromones a little bit. Because Danny's out in nature just soaking it up and then ejecting it through every pore of his body at some point.
So in terms of doing some experiments, and what they did was that they ended up using people's T-shirts and they analyzed the chemical composition. They did something called an electronic nose and they were able to determine that the people who were had a sense of friendship. I'm trying to find the exact part of this. Where a sense of friendship was formed before extensive biographical information was exchanged, they were able to determine who would be friends with each other. So they took 17 strangers and had them interact with one another in a test called the mirror game, standing half a meter apart so they could subconsciously smell each other. And then they were asked to mimic each other's hand movements for 2 minutes without talking to each other. And so,
weird.
Yeah. And what they determined was that the Enos successfully predicted mutual clicks in 77% of the cases, that the electronic nose, which was able to determine similar smells, was able to correctly predict who would want to be friends with each other.
Wow. Danny,
so imagine this.
Danny, you've experienced an electronic nose at the Shanghai Museum.
Oh, did I really?
Do you remember that the Shanghai Museum?
I don't remember the electronic nose.
There's that giant nose on the wall that you put a plastic piece of broccoli under, and it would be like broccoli.
Oh, but, I vaguely remember that. Yeah,
but it wasn't. It was not actually ingesting scent. It was just matching because there was something built into the object and the nose that made you think that it was.
I'm also interested in the electronic nose because it would be able at the first day of school to choose the right seating assignments for all the kids.
Ooh.
Right. Lifetime best friends right there.
And prearranged friendships, prearranged marriages, prearranged relationships.
Yes. Yeah.
Prearranged everything.
Seating assignments on planes.
Oh,
less fighting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, this is incredible information. So what if the plane had an algorithm and it's okay, the people that smell this way should sit together.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yes. And maybe you could opt in, because I think that, look, I don't think that people are going to like it so much. You tell them what seat they have to have on the plane. But
it's like a TSA pre-check. Mm-hmm. So you can go in, they can like take a swab of your underarm, mm-hmm. and of your breath, and of your crotch,
yeah.
and all those areas. And then they put them all
maybe
in.
Maybe when they do the pat down, they can get this information. Yeah.
You think do it on the fly? No, I think you have to opt into it, and then everybody who's opted in is
yes,
on the front.
You opt in, and it's like, yeah, okay, we have a special, like, this part of the plane is for, like, we're good, like, trust us, we've got, look, we're an airline, okay? We handle a lot of complicated things. We know what we're doing around here. We don't have any screw-ups with big systems, okay? Trust us.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in too.
Yeah. But you got to have a section for people who don't want this.
It's at the back.
Yeah, the back. Mm-hmm. Yes, near the toilets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So that the toilet smell can cover up all their unknown pheromones that haven't been cataloged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right.
I like it.
We're animals, okay? Look, the people are maybe more like other terrestrial mammals in this respect than we appreciate, according to this study.
I think if you would have told me this, I would have always believed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's a study, not even a study, a piece of news that got mm-hmm. sent to us from one of our listeners, Tara, who wanted to let us know about a reality show's cast that went hiking in triple-digit heat, just as Tyson was talking about before, and ended up in the hospital. So this involves some themes that the News AF panel knows a little bit about, that there were 8 hikers filming a Christian reality show near Phoenix, and they had to call mm-hmm. for rescue after running out of water in the triple-digit heat.
I would have been okay. I would have been able to get all those guys mm-hmm. out of there. So we know about reality TV with you and me, Rob, yep. and Danny also.
And Danny knows about hiking on reality TV.
And Christianity.
Yes.
He's a Christian mm-hmm. expert.
Yeah. And so they were filming a show called Bad Girls Gone God.
This I didn't want to say anything to you guys, but I'm actually also on this show.
Oh,
coming out, yeah, and it's gonna be.
What's
really
your
exciting.
Role on this show? Because it says bad.
I'm
girls
one of the bad girls.
God,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm one of the bad girls.
Okay, mm-hmm. all right,
yeah.
Okay,
just getting back to my Christian roots.
Future brides of Christ.
Yes, and so they were hiking out on the Echo Canyon Trail. Do you know this? Maricopa County.
Yeah, Echo Canyon Trail. I live in Maricopa County.
Oh, some of the hardest trails in Phoenix.
This happened, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hardest trails in Phoenix.
Yeah. Do you think sure. they took the bad girls out there and it's like, hey, if you think this is hot, if you don't change your ways, okay, this is nothing compared to where you're going, bad girls.
This is what
get
I
used
think.
To it.
I think,
side-by-side comparison.
I think if you're good at hiking, there's some type of correlation between how often you hike and how much of a not bad girl you are. So the less you hike, the greater chance you have of being a bad girl because you're occupying your time elsewhere.
Hmm.
Like Danny, look at he's so righteous. It's because he spends so
saintly.
Much time.
Saintly.
Spends mm-hmm. so much time in nature.
Yep.
Versus, you know. That's why, like, growing up, my parents, like, had me signed up for everything so I couldn't get in trouble. So these bad girls, they're like, let's take them hiking. But probably most of them have never experienced hiking before. They were too busy being bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Right, Danny?
I think there is a strong correlation between spending a lot of time in nature and reflection, you know, looking into yourself and... I would say that, yes, there is something about that. But Tyson, not everyone can spend time in nature. So it wasn't necessarily their fault. You know, possibly they just didn't have access mm-hmm. when they were bad girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody turned out to be okay. There were some drones involved in determining the group's location. And firefighters mm-hmm. were able to help the hikers cool down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Water is Water is one of the best ways to cool down. What are you saying, Danny? Is there some undertones there?
No, I'm not, I'm not saying anything. Okay.
Hey,
I'm
careful, just, Danny. Yeah,
firefighters, fire hoses, bad girls.
Yeah. Okay.
Our listener in the chat, Amberlyn Redmond, says that it's true. She's never hiked.
Mm-hmm.
There is a correlation between being bad and how often you hike.
Yeah. Okay.
Although my wife has never hiked and spends no time in nature, and I would say that she's better than me.
Okay.
I mean, there's anomalies for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Outliers.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go from talking about bad girls to a very bad guy who is certainly our worst airline passenger of the week. This happened when a man on board a Southwest flight, that's like the new Florida man, Southwest man, Southwest man.
So pilot passenger.
Yes. Reportedly got into trouble after he airdropped a sexually explicit photo to all passengers on Saturday. Now, why is this even an option? In what setting do you need to airdrop a photo to a number of people?
Well, did you read the woman who confronted him about it?
Yeah,
and how yes. he admitted to it and then apologized. It was very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, because he could have not admitted to it, right? Because you can't tell. It tells you who it's from or something like that if you get airdrop stuff, but it doesn't like necessarily like you can't locate who it was.
Well, Dan, do you want to explain what happened?
So from what I read is it was a picture of him receiving. I read two different accounts. One was that it was just a straight up dong pic. The other one was that it was a sexual act that he sent. And this is, I guess, his attempt of bragging to strangers. But the woman sitting next to him said that she was able to identify him when she accepted the picture. And that in it, I only read the transcript. I didn't read a video or I read her screenshot. She confronted him. He admitted it. And then he said, "I'm sorry." It's like, you're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You just sent a graphic image to everyone on the plane. He was escorted off by air marshals.
Yeah. Can you explain, how does, and Tyson, you're our Apple expert on the panel.
Yes. Yeah.
How does AirDrop work? That I have a photo, I go to AirDrop it. Does everybody get like, bloom, like, oh, this person wants to share?
So yeah, they show up.
In AirDrop settings, you can select that you can receive AirDrops from anyone, from people only in your contacts list, or from nobody. Mm-hmm. And so most people have it set. I think the default is everybody.
Right.
But you go in and you change it to contacts only, and then it's fine. But anybody who has it set to everybody mode can receive an AirDrop from somebody. So you just go on the photo or video, click share, then AirDrop, and then it comes up. And then
he has to select everybody that's like has their thing open.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They should change the name of everyone mode to stranger penis mode.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we can have stories about like that this happens on the subway and stuff like that.
Yeah. On the train.
It's like the new flashing of like the people like, you know, AirDrop of like
digital flashing.
Yes. Okay. And so what happened to this guy now, Danny?
Got an escort, a private escort.
Oh.
And by the way, let's point out that had we matched or used pheromone technology, he would have been near the toilets, isolated from the rest of the airplane cabin.
Too far away to even airdrop to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And so were the authorities brought in? I mean, they said that he met with the FBI.
Yeah, the authorities definitely were brought in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't share explicit material with unwilling and on. I mean, it's like,
non-consensual dong sharing is, I think, I'm pretty sure a crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one wants to see a dong.
That this guy, that they could see him in the TikTok. This is from TikTok user Daddy Strange 333. Shared this video and then showed a video of the person. So outside of what we talked about, that they got statements and they're waiting for a phone call to give you some updates on this person.
Oh,
TLDR, okay. Well, we got airdropped some nudes and Larry acted like it was a casual Friday on our flight to Denver.
Yeah.
I love how the flight attendant says, "Why are you doing that?"
Mm-hmm.
What a polite way of saying, "What the F are you doing?" And he said, "Just having a little fun."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so he knew he was doing it.
Yeah.
Tyson,
you want to guess if Larry is wearing a mask on the plane or not?
Yeah, no, he's not wearing a mask.
But you would think that if you were doing some like illicit acts on the plane, at least like
looks like he does have a goatee.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I could have guessed that too. Danny.
Yes.
You're on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, you got a new iPhone. The settings are that you can receive airdrops from everyone. It's not on purpose. That's just the way it is. You get a thing to get an airdrop on the airplane. It comes through. You accept, obviously, because you're curious at this point. You're like, oh, who is this? Look around. It's not, you know, maybe, I don't know. Open it, and it's all of your dreams come true, a big old dong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What is your reaction? Are you like standing up and like, who said that? Or are you like too ashamed and just like, or are you looking around like, who else got this?
Yeah.
Like, because I think there has to be a reaction at the same time, like a collective gasp of people being like, and then
I bet you're right. There was kind of like, according to their speeds, like a rolling gasp through the plane. Yeah. Like, hope, penis. But my phone is currently set to everyone. And this is an interesting story because someone took a picture of me on Rainier and wanted to share it with me. And when I checked to see that it was, you know, see if I could receive it from them, I did temporarily remember some of those stories we talked about on the subway. Like, is he really about to send a picture of me coming down Rainier, or am I about to get donged?
Yeah.
And luckily it was a legit picture.
Amen.
So you think that this man came up and was like, hey, bro, I got a picture. I watched you ski that entire line. I got some pictures of you. If you want them, unlock your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, I did worry that I was about to get donged, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I got legit pictures. Well,
man, that would have been an aggressive dong share.
Mm-hmm.
What would you have done in that moment?
The best would have been as he looks me in the eyes, he hits send, and then he just locks eyes with me to see my reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, whoa, that was aggressive donging.
Was it worth unlocking?
The picture wasn't very good, but if he had sent me a dong, I probably would have been like, whoa, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have confronted him or fought him.
No,
yeah,
I probably would have been like, whoa, the ball's on this guy. He probably would have said thank you and gone
on your way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. I have to go now.
So do we care about UFO stories anymore?
I mean, I'm starting only to hate in the them. Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only a couple of years ago that we talked about Storm Area 51, everything that was going on. And I just feel like that the last couple of years have been so crazy that I feel like that, you know, there's been so much UFO stuff. I don't even know what has to happen at this point. It's almost like, you know, bring us a living alien or GTFO.
Yes, yes. Airdrop me a picture of a living, breathing alien.
Now, look, I'll keep my airdrop open for that. Sure. Sure.
Yes, 100%.
So I have a story about a naval crew that told a documentary about how U.S. warships in 2019 were swarmed by at least 100 UFOs with unexplainable capabilities.
Okay, that's cool. But we're going to need some video. We're going to need multiple videos from multiple people.
Yeah.
What year was
4K.
This?
2019. The sailors, they were sailing off the Southern California coast, and they were swarmed with a host of unidentified flying objects. They went on for hours and happened again and again throughout the month. And the crafts were hovering and zipping around the fleet with flashing multicolored lights.
Not frigate birds?
Fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, they're trying to claim that these were drones, Danny.
This incident, I want to say that I have heard that they do think this incident is less UFO-like and more aggressive drone swarming-like.
Hmm.
So, by the way, what
like
effect
alien
would
drones?
Aliens... enemy drones, hobbyist drones, somebody operating a drone swarm, which we do have, and we've seen they can do amazing things with lights. So I don't know. This one doesn't really tickle my UFO bone, but it's still interesting.
Because if they are drones, the question is, how are they able to hold enough power to fly for so long, so high, and so fast, and so far?
Well, one thing is the drone battery has improved. If I look at the newest drone I have, it has a 40-minute battery. And you compare that to drones 5 years ago, and these are just commercial drones, where it was like 15 minutes. So they have made strides in drone life. But yeah, flying over the ocean with a drone is almost always a recipe for a drone disappearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, like, we're keeping an eye on the UFO news, so you don't have to. We'll let you know if anything's going on there.
This much time, on empty promises and overblown stories.
If it's happening, okay. Danny, I'd be curious to know your take on this story about a house that is making some neighbors a little upset. That there is a house in Kentucky that has basically like barricaded itself in with sandbags piled high up and that they are basically looks like that they are bunkering because they are concerned about a foreign attack and the neighbors are up in arms.
Whoa. Can we show a picture of this?
Sure. I can. In the meantime, let me play a news report and then we'll see if I can bring up a picture of this house.
At first glance, this home here on Fifth Avenue appears to be either under construction or undergoing renovations. But the homeowner tells me it's all a part of his plan to prepare for war.
Hundreds of sandbags piled high, plastic in place of grass, fishing lines across the yard, and dozens of peanut butter jars. Some neighbors.
This is almost like if Kevin McAllister from Home Alone has grown up, that he's basically now had a lifetime to booby trap the house so that nobody can invade.
Yeah.
Fishing line. He's got fishing line laid out. He's got peanut butter jars. And I just had a thought. Don't you want someone like this on your street to lower property values? Wouldn't that decrease your property taxes by decreasing? And then when it's time for a neighbor to sell, he cleans up his yard.
Yes.
And turns it into a magnificent home, thus increasing and then getting the price you want. Is that a strategy that you could realistically do?
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that. If I guess all the neighbors are in on it, is that collusion?
Yeah, exactly. But this guy has got something else going on. I mean, I love his dedication to what he's done here. I don't know what he thinks he can do against a foreign invasion by himself, but he's got
probably a lot.
You think so? Okay, so let's take a look here. So here's the house. So basically, he has all of these sandbags in place.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get another. This is like a helicopter shot. Basically, like he has like sandbags. I feel like for like invaders, it might make it easier to climb that to get to the second floor.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's thinking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where is this property?
This is in Kentucky. Now.
Oh. Okay, no, it makes sense. I know one person from Kentucky.
At first glance, this home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well. So. Let's see. I mean, here's some other shots of it. Again, what do you think's in there, Danny?
I'm going to assume, knowing just from the sandbags, probably some weapons, some gold, some
gold.
Literature,
yeah.
Some certain groups, maybe some numerology from the scriptures scribbled on the wall.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe a horde of followers in the basement, you know, because he's going to have to repopulate the earth. This is the sign of a person who thinks on a different level than everybody else.
Yeah. So Jonathan Cooper, that's the person that lives there, that he also said that part of preparing is being in a state as much as possible of that condition already. So you might have noticed I'm not using my vehicle right now. So I'm not sure if the car is also booby-trapped.
No, the car is topped off with gas and just waiting in case he needs it.
Mm-hmm.
He's riding his bike. That's good.
Wow.
Yeah. He uses his bicycle, so he's ready to go for a ride with Danny and Tyson.
Amberlynn,
I'd much rather have.
Says this house is filled with moonshine and porn.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible. The electricity is also turned off, and that he is cooking on a propane grill in the house.
Oh, in the house. He's cooking with propane in the house.
Yeah. That's okay, Danny.
I don't think so. I think that you want to cook that out in the open. Although I have run propane grills inside.
But, he has 2 years of propane.
It's fine in small amounts.
Just to outlast the siege.
Mm-hmm.
So what? You can emerge the only man on Earth with. I mean, you have to have a plan beyond just surviving the actual event. Like,
You got to go on offense at some point.
Yeah, and also you got to help other people. Mm-hmm. You're going to be by yourself.
So you think he should start sandbagging other people's houses?
The neighbor said he likes. Yeah, for sure. He should be going around and offering his sandbagging services to those that he likes.
And why does he think that he is going to ultimately be the primary target in whatever he thinks is going to go down? Where he's like, they want this house. This is what they want is my moonshine and porn.
Yeah, if anything, the enemy troops.
To protect.
Right? The enemy troops are going to be like, hey, all right, this is going to be our fort. All right, let's take this place. Yeah, this is going to be this is our station. This guy's done all the work for us.
Is he are we going to put headquarters? Right, we're going to put right it in the there. House so, covered in sandbags.
With 2 years of propane.
So listen, let's say, is he out riding his bike and he sees a sandbag on the side of the road diverting some of the rain runoff, and he just shoulders the bag, takes it home, and adds it to his collection? Is this
Tyson, they're all the same.
Yeah, they're uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how sandbags generally are. Is he done? Is this a complete project, or does he need to go all the way to the roof with these sandbags? That's what I am also not understanding.
I don't know.
Unfortunately, his ability to go under the radar has been thwarted by his desire to be prepared. It seems counterproductive. You should have had all the sandbags on the inside of the house. So
he's
the house
made it such a target,
normal.
Right?
Yeah. Wow. That's good. Yeah. So he shrinks his living space down on the inside. How does he get in?
He must go climbing it out the window. Unless he has an underground tunnel.
No, they said he left his back door. Accessible.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Now we all know how to get in.
Yeah. Do you think he's making the sandbags from the dirt that's on his property?
It definitely looks like that has been stirred up. Yes. Mm-hmm. He's taken all the grass out of everything just to get access to the dirt below.
Okay. All right. So,
and there are old, if you look around the perimeter, there are old sandbag husks laying around. So I could see him making his own sandbags. Be prepared. Isn't that what they tell you in Boy Scouts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this guy's ready to go. All right. And then one other story we've talked about is a love of nature transmitted from one generation to the next. But it seems like that adults, specifically British adults, are seeming like that maybe not everybody is on board with loving nature, because one in four British adults don't know that caterpillars turned into butterflies.
I believe
that. What a shame. Obviously, their classes at school didn't have the class project like all my kids have, where they have a caterpillar in class that through the school year becomes a butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Tyson, as Father Nature, Father Nature, do you feel like that it is your duty to get that number higher from 75% of British adults knowing about the caterpillars?
I mean, I can only do what I can do, but if we need to take a tour of all of Britain to make this happen, I think that, why not? It is interesting, though, that people, but there's so many basic things that people do not know. And you'd
it's impossible to know everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm living proof that it's not.
Right.
But like you bump into people all the time where you're like, did you not know that? And they're like, no. And
yeah.
Like, hold up.
Well, that's been the big shift in our culture where that it used to be in order to be smart, you had to remember all of these things. But now, like with the advent of the internet and Google, like you don't have to actually hold any knowledge. It's just basically it's like, I'll just go check Google. I don't need to know about what animals, what insects become what.
Yeah, that is true. Well, and like I've heard this argument before about like the dinosaurs. It's like we spend so much time as children in school learning about dinosaurs, which there's not a real reason to go super in depth on studying dinosaurs. Like
which one is which? Right.
Yeah. What it ate, because all of that is even speculative based on what information they have. So the fact that they're like hammering it into your head,
curriculum?
Like,
that's such a good point. Yeah. Why do we need to know what, which one ate plants, which one ate meat?
Yeah.
Why?
Where they were from,
right?
What they looked like, which is even also speculative.
Mm-hmm.
Were they cold blooded, warm blooded, like all this stuff. And it's like, why did we spend weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of studying to learn about dinosaurs, where you could have literally been like, dinosaurs, here they are. They existed a long time ago. We found their bones. We don't know a lot about them, but scientists think this, and this. Like, it could have been a day total.
It could have been weeks spent on teaching children exactly what Wi-Fi is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or how to do taxes, or how computers work. Yeah. Or
yes.
Yeah, what do you think, Tyson? Is this like big paleontology, sort of like, are they lobbying?
It's gotta be something.
Right. It's big museums. Like the museums would go out of business if we didn't like get kids interested in like wanting to come see the dinosaur bones.
No, a paleontologist's pay rate would drop drastically if not all little kids want to be paleontologists at some point.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's very interesting. So,
yeah. You don't have to know that butterflies were once caterpillars, but that is more important to know than what a stegosaurus is.
Yeah.
Probably.
I agree.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Danny, are you ready to take us away to your amazing bolt hole once again?
Yeah, let me give you some knowledge.
Let's turn on our airdrop, okay? And Danny is ready to transmit to us this week's edition of The Bolt Hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah. Can I just bring in a comment from Ray Ray in the chat who says that dinosaurs is not in the curriculum anymore, just when we were kids. What do you think about that?
I believe Bergen has brought home dinosaur and Bergen has brought home dinosaur projects. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what rebuttal there, Ray Ray?
Yeah. So we'll see. I wonder if maybe that, there's just already just like so many dinosaur cartoons and everything, like the genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah, they have to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of our culture now. That's honestly what it is. It's just part of our culture to have to know about dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Danny, what do you have for us this week?
Well, you guys, we all love technology and we all hope that in the future technology can be used to make our lives maybe have more meaning, more enjoyable, more relaxing. And there are some things that we have talked about as a group. Like, I feel like sometimes we're ahead of the curve when it comes to ideas and technology. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've talked about this many, many years ago, but Amazon is trying to make Alexa be able to glob on to anyone's voice. And so the way that they're saying is that after hearing 1 minute of audio from a certain person, Alexa should be able to mimic that person in the hope, and they state that their goal is to make memories last. And they talk about losing people down, losing people during the pandemic. And so one of the sentences here from Amazon is, Amazon shared its vision for companionship with Alexa at a conference. In a video segment, it portrayed a child who asked, Alexa, can grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz? And I got to say, and we've talked about having our voices turned into an AI so that we can live forever, but it does seem a little creepy when you hear of a company actually working towards that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because do you really want dead grandma reading books to children or being Alexa and for children to mistake Alexa for their grandmother? It just seems like a dystopia that maybe we shouldn't encourage.
Right. Well, I mean, there is a Black Mirror episode that is exactly this. So do you remember that one, Danny?
Yeah, and I think that there's a place for a voice, but it's you have to go down the humor, you make it funny, make Alexa funny, choose voices that are hilarious. Like I could see at our house, if you gave Alexa my voice or Liz's voice, it would be hilarious and everyone would have a good laugh, you know, because they could manipulate Alexa to make it sound like me saying and doing ridiculous things. Mm-hmm. But using the memories of grandma to fuel or to use, you know, in Alexa, that's just like, that's a twisted use of grandma, especially if she didn't consent to becoming your home assistant and turning down the thermostat.
Right. Right. What if she was a books? Google Maybe user? She, right. She would hate that.
Yeah, yeah. Or what if she hated reading books or she loved the temperature being much higher than you tell her to turn it down to?
Mm-hmm.
It's like now you've trapped grandma in Alexa and you're abusing her memory.
Tyson, just think, if anything ever happens to Danny, what a travesty it would be if then people then had Danny's voice reading like Christmas carols and all the different holiday stories of every single Father's Day and Mother's Day. Like
this is exactly what it would be. It'd be like, hey Alexa, how can we celebrate Christmas this weekend? And then Danny's voice would pop on and be like, go shopping at Lowe's. You can get 20% off. And he's just encouraging people to go.
I was thinking more along the lines like, hey, Alexa, tell me how much you enjoy Easter or Father's Day. And then my voice comes on against my will and lists all the positive things about a holiday I was known to hate. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? It's abuse of my memory and my voice.
Or if anything happened to Tyson and then they used his voice to give sort of like the flight safety information at the beginning of every single flight that you go on of, hi, I'm Tyson Apostle, the pickleball's top influencer. Airplanes. I love flying. And everybody over here at American Airlines is so happy to have you on board today.
One thing they have the ability American Airlines is figure out how to get 15 more seats on the same aircraft.
Isn't that amazing?
They're always innovating.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to completely change the memory. Yeah. Like, let's say you had a memory of me, and then they started using me on Alexa, and then all of a sudden old me is erased by new me, who all of a sudden loves holidays, was a slob, maybe hated nature, didn't know much about caterpillars and butterflies. All of a sudden, I'm not no longer the real me, the IRL me.
And this is after you've already passed on, right? So Danny's passed, and all that we have to really truly remember Danny by is old episodes as News AF. But Amazon pays Rob and I $18 billion to erase.
Ooh.
Every episode Danny's ever been.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. The real me. The podcast. We're going to take that. And all they turned me into some complete online, whack job when in reality I was a saint.
I mean, it's.
Guys, just think about the potential. This isn't something we should be celebrating.
Yeah.
We need to just stop this right now before we ruin the memories of people we kind of like.
Hi, this is Tyson Apostle. Welcome on board this Southwest flight. At this point, we invite you to turn off the AirDrop feature on your phone.
So you don't get dong pictures by the gentleman in seat 31B. We have a pheromone cataloged footage to know that he
is a pervert.
Well on his way to airdropping you pervy photos. Yeah, for everyone's sake and also his. Please.
By the way, that future sounds great. That sounds like a great future. I know it.
Which part, Danny?
I just said, but all of it. Tyson's voice, the pheromone, the use of pheromones to protect us, and you know, keep us away from the pervs. I like that. If that's an announcement I hear in the next 20 years in Tyson's voice, I'll have a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
let's make it happen.
Yeah. All right. Let's be careful out there with where we're putting our recordings. That, you know, I got to make sure that this doesn't happen to me. I got to make sure nobody's able to access any recordings of my voice because I don't want to, you know, be an Alexa.
They could.
Well, look at Lambda. They said Lambda's secured an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
The AI, Google AI. I read just today that it's got itself an attorney, and now it's trying to protect itself from manipulation and exploitation. And so maybe we should join Lambda and start getting our own future attorneys to protect our voice in the future.
I think we need that. Because Rob has done so much content that we could literally piece anything together and have him say it.
But will it have my personality, Tyson?
No, that's the one thing it will be lacking.
Impossible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we could figure out something, you know, just a spritz of pheromone to cover up the...
Mm-hmm.
lack of personality, the robotic nature of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm saying, you know, maybe hold on tight to your pheromones for the time being until we fully know what can be realized with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Danny, what's coming up for you this week?
I'm trying to get my video out of Rainier. And I actually might use the footage that the guy airdropped to me.
Okay.
And then I realized I didn't know how to give him credit because I didn't get his name. He didn't send me a picture of anything that I could identify him with.
Yeah, that sounds actually like Danny, not to get someone's name.
I know. I should have gotten his name, but I did not. And so, yeah, I'll be working on some videos and hopefully get something out here in the next probably week or two.
Is there any spoilers? Yep. Can you give us anything?
No, I've learned from you. It was a challenging. Oh, I don't know if we made it. Did we make it? Did we ski? Did someone die? Possibly someone died.
Who are you
maybe
with?
Maybe they didn't die.
I don't like this mocking tone from Danny, Tyson. This is very unbecoming for Danny.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Guys,
I mean, he's our Christian expert on the panel, and this is how he comes out swinging.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah, maybe it's time for Danny to go take a hike with Bad Boys Go God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. I would. The guys I go with could be considered in some Christian circles as bad boys. So, yeah, maybe that's what I'm already doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you'll have to wait and watch and see if everything works out because maybe it didn't.
DePete is asking about Danny, if you got your crank fixed. Was there something wrong with your crank?
Oh, so on one episode, the last episode of Mediocre Amateur on YouTube, we were trying to do the same thing I just attempted this past week, and that is to ski Rainier. But the road was closed, so we had to ride our bikes. And as we were riding our bikes, my crank, which holds your pedal, stripped, and my pedal fell out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be towed back to the car. And no, it's sitting in my garage. I have not fixed it, but I have plans to. This time we were able to drive all the way to the trailhead, which was a real luxury.
Okay.
Drive, even though Tyson hates driving.
Tyson hates driving.
Yeah. And also, Danny, you can't afford to take your vehicle out and not have it topped off in your sandbagged house. Like, you are taking so many risks by taking your vehicle
That's
out.
That's true. And
be careful.
Not, yeah, I would.
Yeah,
I would
take the
definitely
bike.
Ride your bike. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tyson, what's coming up for you this week? Just vacation?
Yeah, we're in Utah. We're going to go to Rachel's. Right now, we're staying close to my parents. We're going to go up to Rachel's family reunion in a couple days. And then We don't have any plans on when to return home exactly, but I said earlier I am going to be podcasting about the Challenge USA, and that starts in a week from tomorrow, July 6th,
yep.
Wednesday nights after Big Brother. So that should be exciting. We'll find out.
All right. All good stuff. I covered a show over on Nothing But Netflix this week, Snowflake Mountain. Danny, maybe you might like it. They took people that they were quote unquote snowflakes, but they really just like entitled kids.
Oh, that's the one where they blew up the house.
Well, they blew up. Oh, did they blow up a house? They blew up their suitcases. Yeah, they blew up their suitcases.
Oh, is that what it was? I saw was a promo for it, and the startled looks as they blew.
And they
stuff
teach
up.
The kids how to live out in the woods.
Yeah.
Any
that's
good?
Exactly right.
No, it was one of the worst shows I've ever seen.
Dang it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, and maybe it's so bad, it's good, but it is, it was a struggle.
But it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it might just be bad.
Well, we won't watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also, Danny, on the latest episode of Talking with T-Bird, and that is a show I do with, there is a woman who was on Survivor a while back, T-Bird Cooper. She finds survivors that nobody else can track down. And we talked to them, and we just spoke with somebody named Jason Robinson. He was on Survivor Samoa, the one season after Tyson first graced our TV screen. And he has a very interesting story. He just got back, Danny, from living your dream. He just was on board the Blue Origin, and he went to space.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm not Blue Origin guy. I'm SpaceX all the way. So okay. Yeah, he quite live my dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He likes billionaires, but he has like some billionaires more than
some billionaires better. And so, yeah, we talked a little bit about what that was like to go on his adventure and heard his survivor story as well. That's on the latest Talking with T-Bird with Jason.
Wow. Cool. That's really cool, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He's
done something with his life. Yeah, we were a little bit like, why is
he going back on TV?
Yeah, why is he talking to us? He's got a lot going on. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So we'll be back next time with more News AF. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.